Good morning. I haven't been here a few weeks, so I feel I've missed a whole bunch. Anyway, it's nice to be back. Nice to see you on Zoom, too. Let's begin our worship. Please join with me. We gather because we are God's people. Day by day, Sunday by Sunday, we praise the living God. We are a community in Christ Jesus, in praise, in prayer, in teaching and fellowship. We are sustained by our Lord. Let us worship God.
Let us pray. God of all creation, you have opened the world around us and filled it with creatures of your love and purpose. Each one declares your praise. The mountain states your majesty, the ripened field your generosity. Birds flying aloft sing of your freedom. The tiny ant works with your persistence. And what do we declare about you in our lives? We pray that our work will honor your justice and mercy. May our relationships speak of your love and compassion, so we may praise you, O God, not just in this hour of worship, but in all our waking and our working. Challenge us today to live out the praise we offer you through the grace of Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God of justice and mercy, we offer you our love and loyalty in worship. Yet we admit we do not live out that love and loyalty. We don't always act on our good intentions. We fail to keep our promises and we hurt each other and then refuse to seek or offer forgiveness. People must look at us and wonder if this is what it means to follow Jesus. In your mercy, please forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. From now on, as St. Paul declared, we regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Thanks be to God that we can make a new start this very day. Amen.
So I neglected to introduce Dave. That's Dave Cho. And he was here a few weeks ago, and I had an opportunity to get to know him a little better because four of us went out for lunch afterwards. So that was quite nice. So we welcome you back, Dave. With thankfulness, we give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With hopefulness, we give in commitment to God.
Good morning, children. No, we're all children at heart, too. Emily, is it right that Tuesday you go back to school? Wednesday, okay. But good, so Wednesday. So what is a good way to start anything, Emily? You ever see your dad or your uncle or grandfather or even on TV putting their dress shirt on? What happens if the first button is not done right and they get to the end and then they have to unbutton every shirt all the way back and they will have to start all over again, right? So effort and time wasted. So in the same way, how can we start the first button right for this school year? So we don't waste our time and effort. Any idea? Okay, I'll give you some hint. Peppa the Pig or Caillou or Arthur or PJ Masks or Paw Patrol won't have the answers. It says in Proverbs, 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So putting the first button right would be entrusting this school year to God and also our life to God. Are we done? That's it. There's more, right? Now there's God's part, and now there'll be your part, Emily. So one, when you get to school, you need to listen to the teachers. Two, and then do your work. And also, third part is asking your parents to help you with the ones that you don't understand. Are we done now? I think no, because there's one last thing that is very, very important. So when you get to school every morning, as soon as you find your chair, you can give a quick prayer to God, entrusting that day to God, and also asking for His help. It says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I think we're done now. So with God as basis in our life, everything will go well because God will be our perfect guide. So, Emmy, I bless you and your life and you, this school year, that you learn everything and you continue to grow in God, okay? Amen? Okay, let's now recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Before I read the scripture, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have much to communicate to us through the words that have been carefully recorded and kept for centuries. Open our hearts and our minds as we hear and read today's selection. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, it's on page in the Pew Bible, 1013. Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and to be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
Good morning, everyone. I didn't bring any jokes today, I'm sorry. But I'm very confident that just looking at my face will be funny enough. You can laugh there. Do you know this saying? Love the sinner, but hate the sin. Why do you think such sayings exist? Maybe I'm wrong, but I wonder if someone invented this saying to accommodate and gratify himself. In these modern times, no one likes to be called sinners, but just because we don't like to be called sinners, it doesn't mean that we're not sinners. First step is always the denial, but when we accept it, it empowers us to name it and overcome it and be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Does God love sinners? Absolutely, without a hint of doubt. It says in Romans, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. But if you're like me, although I'm a sinner and I like being loved by God, I love being loved by God, but I wonder how generous I am towards other sinners. Also, this older son, he might have been a type of person who hated sin, but hated the sinners even more. Generous to himself, but not so generous with anybody else. He might have, for himself, he might have said something like, don't hate the player, hate the game. But for others, he might have said something like, without the player, there is no game. I'm not a psychologist, but one can guess that as a child, this older son was not hugged very much. This is a very famous story, so I'm not going to touch every point and put you to sleep if I haven't already. You didn't laugh at that one last time either, but okay. If you see verses 24, they began to celebrate the return of the younger son. I don't know what time of the day the younger son returned, but surely it was before 5 p.m. But the older son was not included on the list of the guests. Do you all know that no one likes party poopers? What is the first thing that people do before planning a party? They take the black list out, and from there, they make the list of guests. So if you generally get invited to party, then know that you're in a good place. People like you, and they want to spend time with you. But if you're always finding out 2 weeks later, like myself, that there was a party, or the people were talking and laughing, and whenever you walk in and the whole room goes dead silent, then you know that you should work on your personality. We all have 24 hours in a day. Just because you're Wayne Gretzky or because you're the Prime Minister of Canada, God will not say, hey man, I'm going to give you 2 extra hours for each day. I got you. 24 hours is all we have. And we have to make choices with whom we'll spend these precious times. So generally, with the people that we like, we would like to spend these precious moments. I have a question here. Each day, how much of these precious times do we devote to God? And is it the first hour? This older son surely must have been a fuddy-duddy or stick in the mud because he did not make the list. Also, no servant from the estate went to he was working and informed him, because all the servants knew that he wasn't going to be happy about the celebration. And he was going to make sure that no one else was going to have fun. They all said, nah, don't worry about him. Let him find out after work. Are you all parents? How many children do you have? What if one of your children went away and they come back like after 5 years? Maybe to Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, a soldier returning home from serving overseas. I mean, what would you do when your child came back? Especially ladies that are mothers. Such a cute and lovely baby that you gave birth to and who taught you how to be a mother and filled your heart with so much joy. It surely calls for a celebration, right? You're not going to just take him to McDonald's and say, oh, okay, welcome back. Not just any celebration, but a memorable and unforgettable one, right? I mean, super awesome party. So in verse 25, the older son comes home from the field and hears music and dancing. Okay, we just sang some praise songs, but remember that lady there and Emily, they're very excited, right? And they're clapping and stuff. So what is your natural reaction when you hear music and dancing? You know, your body, you know, hits the rhythm and just moves, and you want to join the party. In my 20s, whenever there were Korean students' parties at U of T, I always went, hoping to get a girl. Not good memories. I always struck out, but I always went because the hope is the last thing to die, isn't it? But if we see verses 26, the older son not only does not go in, but he calls one of the servants. I mean, it would have been so much easier if he would have just walked into the house and see what was going on. But oh no, this fuddy-duddy. One, he stays outside. Two, he finds some poor servant who came out for a smoke. And three, calls him over still. And he doesn't go where, notice where he doesn't go where the servant is. And four, he asks what is going on. And five, makes the servant talk to him. And my guess is that probably the servant did not want to talk to him. So one step versus five steps to find out what was going on. Wow, what pride and arrogance. Also, after a hard day at work, especially when you have worked in your garden or in construction all day, correction, only for a few hours, how do you feel? How refreshing would a cold beer be just about now? You feel me? But what part of this older son? I mean, if he worked in the field all day, he must be super dehydrated. But he doesn't even drink any water, let alone a cold beer. I mean, this is all you can eat and drink. I mean, this is super fun. All expenses paid for. If it was me, I don't even have to know the people, like that movie, The Wedding Crashers. I'll just go in and enjoy all the gourmet food and drink all the free drinks and have lots of fun. Oh, by the way, I hope you're not putting me on your blacklist just now. But I'm sure this servant who came up for a smoke was kicking himself, saying, I don't want to say it because it is church, and but only say the first half so he can appreciate the intensity of his disappointment and anger at himself. I think he would have something like, son of a... And then you can think of the rest of the sentence there. And thought to himself, in the next party, I'm never, ever coming up for a smoke. Or better yet, I'm going to quit smoking like now. Oh, you're so stupid. Why just leave the party in the first place, you dumbass? You just couldn't stay inside. And probably got pretty upset at himself and maybe even got a tattoo on his forearm saying, do not leave the party. However, the older son, when he heard music and dancing, look at his reaction. It says in verse 20 that he became angry. Why was he so upset? What did he hear just now? Fat and calf, right? You know what he's thinking? He's thinking $20 per pound. Stay with me now. An average cow weighs 1,600 pounds. So $20 times 1,600 be $32,000 for raw meat. And prepare be like $100,000 because the butcher, chef, kitchen help, waiters, ingredients, plates, wine glasses, and utensils. And calculating the rest of the cost for the party in his mind already. So 1,600 guests if one cow, but in John 14, Jesus said there are many rooms in the Father's house, so if it was a small party, let's say 16,000 guests, then 10 cows, so be like $1 million of beef, And 60,000 people times $10 be $160,000 if one beer person. 2 to 3 beers be $500,000. And since it was for free, let us put it $1 million, shall we say? So just over $2 million easy. And as I mentioned, it was like a hotel buffet the last time, be $500 a plate, times 16 be $8 million. Also, we can't forget the tips. This was why the older son was so upset. Remember, the younger son, he already received his share of the estate. So everything now belongs to who? The older son, right? But seeing that his father is still alive, and so the more he spends, it'll be less for him to inherit. In verse 28, we find out that this older son is not a normal person. I mean, what kind of person gets angry when he hears music and dancing and refuses to go into a party? And not only that, what kind of person gets angry that his brother came back home? And on the internet, it said it could have been like for decades because he didn't just inherit $10,000, if not like $200 million. Anyway, it is not important that how long the younger son was away, but it is clear that the older son was not happy that his rapper brother came back home. You all know this famous story, right? The old missionary couple who had been working in Africa for years and they're returning home to New York City on the same ship as the President Teddy Roosevelt. And no one paid much attention to them. So that night, the missionary prayed to God, complaining, and the Lord said, "But you're not home yet." These missionary couples, they weren't selling and shipping drugs to the U.S., nor were they involved in blood diamond business. They simply served God and served God faithfully for many years. But even for them, coming back home to New York was the hardest thing that they had to do. Even myself, after 20 years in Nicaragua, I had this fantasy about coming back home. Warm welcome and financial support. But boy, was I wrong. I'm barely surviving, living off my parents who are 85 and 80, a retired minister living in a government housing. But this younger son, he led a very different life than the older son. As I remember, just picture a rap video, fast car, fast woman, fast money, and for decades. But he came to his senses and realized that he wasted his talents and salvation for a while, and he was so grateful that the father accepted him back into his house, regaining his salvation. I mean, what joy for the younger son to be called son again of his father, having a home and a place to belong. What a joyous occasion. And those who have been away from home know very well how joyful it is to be back at the father's house. But if we see verses 29, the older son may not have left the father's house, but the father's joy was never present in his life. And he sees his privilege of serving the father as slaving. I'm thinking at least $500 million so you can appreciate what he had. I mean, can you put a price on your life or on your salvation? So this older son was in his own business and all the profit was his and his alone. So how does he see this as slaving? Not a young goat to celebrate with his friends, but we find out here that how good a liar this older son is. Because people like that, they don't have any friends. I know. Also, this is a super cheapskate, like myself, and don't have parties because he doesn't want to spend money. I mean, who would want to be his friend? And who would want to come to his party? Peanut butter and a jam sandwich? No, thank you. And please, let me humor you some more. I have no doubt in my mind that this older son was a virgin and also never had a girlfriend ever. I mean, what sane girl would want to go out with him? There are three kinds of people in the kingdom of God. One is a slave, and they serve God out of fear. Two is a worker, and they serve God because they like getting paid. But last are sons and daughters, and they serve God out of love. Which one are you? In verse 30, the older son calls the younger son, this son of yours. Can you just feel the hatred in these words? I mean, what does that mean? He's your son, but he's not my brother. And destroys the brotherly relationship completely. There is also another person in the Old Testament who destroyed the fraternal relationship. Do you remember Cain and Abel? In Genesis 4, Cain saying, am I my brother's keeper? I have a question here. Between the older and the younger son, who do you think was the smarter one? The younger son who wasted his wealth to travel to that distant country? Or the older son who didn't go far away, but saved his time and money, but turned his home into a distant country? Well, this is like asking a child who she likes more, her mom or her dad. And these kids are so smart and so political. You just ask a child this question and then watch and learn. But on the other hand, I know I'm not that smart, so that is why I became a pastor. So you can laugh there. So if you ask me, I would just say that the older son was a smarter one, because at least he did not lose his time and money, and he did not risk his life in travel. This son of yours is a big, big evidence that there was no joy in his heart. When people see babies, why does everyone go, aww? And people talk to babies using their language and at their level. Why? Because their heart is so open to that baby. There's so much love in their hearts for that fragile and lovely child. And it brings out all the love that is in their hearts. So with no joy, this son of yours, and he ruins the relationship and ruins for everyone, making it so uncomfortable and awkward for everyone in that house. This is my conjecture, but the only time this older son was happy was probably the day his younger brother left home. Because he's the type of person who cannot accept anyone who is different from him. Unity, but my way, good. Diversity, not good. So if you remember in the first part of the sermon, I asked, why did the younger son leave home, even risking his life? Well, here's your answer. Because of his older brother. Because the older brother made it so uncomfortable for the younger brother to stay. Not just once a week or every 3 days, but every second. The older son was on his case, suffocating him like that cubicle hotel in Korea. Do it this way and do it that way. This is wrong and that is wrong. And basically, why can't you be more like me? And most likely, the younger son was dying inside by the older son's law in his ways. And if we could have interviewed the younger son, why he went away for our YouTube upload, the younger son, I think, would have said, I just wanted to live. But there's good news for us in verse 32, what the older son completely destroyed and ruined with the words, this son of yours, our father restores it by saying, this brother of yours. The older son is always at the father's house, but he never came home. So the older son also is a homeless person. The older son also needs to come home to the father's home, into the father's heart. Here's a little twist of plot for everyone. Did you notice something here? That the younger son did not go out with his father to plead with his older brother. Remember, Jesus was preaching this message to the Pharisees as well. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. As accepting the younger son's return is also accepting himself, who both are created in the image of God. So also the younger son cannot just be happy that he came back to the father's home, but he now has to complete the role of being his brother's keeper, because Abel is also Cain's keeper. And so he has to go out and plead with his older brother to join the celebration and that he receive his salvation as well. In this way, the father's love that is complete and perfect will be fulfilled. There is no place like home, and there is nothing like the father's love. Where is your home? And are you home tonight? Let us pray. God of all times and all people, on this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for all the skill and talent with which you bless your people. Thank you for what we have accomplished through the work we do, and for what each one of us contributes to the well-being of our community. Inspire us to work together on the challenges we face, and surprise us with the solution to problems that once seemed overwhelming. Today we pray for all those who labor in difficult situations, for children who work in terrible conditions and are paid very little, for migrant workers who must labor far away from their families, and for those who are underpaid or unjustly treated in their workplace. We pray for those who cannot labor, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, for those who have become injured on the job or too sick to keep working, for those who are denied the opportunity to earn a living because of war or discrimination. We pray for those who labor in our community, for those who must work today and tomorrow instead of enjoying this long weekend, for those who must work several jobs in order to care for their families, for those who work at jobs we wouldn't do ourselves because they're messy or unpleasant. And on this Labor Day, O God, we offer gratitude for laws that protect children, for health and safety practices that prevent tragedies in the workplace, and for generations before us who advocated for vulnerable employees, fair wages, and equal opportunities. Thank you for the work that goes behind the scenes, delivering things we enjoy and services we rely on. Help us to look beyond these things to picture the faces of those whose work provides for all our needs. Through their faces, let us see your face, creator, sustainer of all that is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace now and always. Amen.